Hello friends, we will now look at the last chapter of this particular book, Import-Export Management Regulatory Fixtures. That is chapter number 15, where we will be discussing about the logistics and supply chain management. Yes, international movement of goods compulsory requires a certain level of logistics and supply chain management system. And after a long period of time, in India, we have now got a national logistics policy. We'll discuss some of those issues in this particular chapter. Here, as far as structure of this chapter is concerned, we will first look at the logistics service providers. We will look at freight forwarders. We will look at what is a supply chain. And then most important factor, our Prime Minister, Mr. Narendra Modi, has given a green signal, a big format known as Gati Shakti. Gati means movement, Shakti means power. And we'll also look at some of the provisions of the National Logistics Policy. We have now got a lot of developments in multimodal logistics parks. There is a very big infrastructure built up as far as logistics parks are concerned for multimodal transportation of goods. And then we have got a separate information system for track, trace, etc., under the Unified Logistics Interface Platform. This is a digital platform. So let's look at each part of it now. When we want to see what logistics is, for your background information, there was no clear-cut definition of logistics, but different people, different countries at different stages have given different definitions. Now, originally this was used by the military and they had a separate logistic divisions for movement of war material, persons and all requirements by those war army people, defense personnel. That was handled by the logistic departments in the military defense system. Now, subsequently, the American Council of Logistics Management has defined logistics as the process of planning, implementing, and controlling the efficient, cost-effective flow and storage of raw materials, in-process inventory, finished goods, and all related information from point of origin to point of consumption for the purpose of conforming to customers' requirements. Again, the Oxford English Dictionary has got a separate definition, which is defined logistics as the branch of military science relating to procuring, maintaining, and transporting material, personnel, and facilities. And of course, recently we have got another definition of logistics, that is the management of acquisition, storage, transportation, and delivery of goods throughout the supply chain. This is a recent definition of logistics. Now, what are logistics? What is the meaning of logistics actually? Logistics involves several functions such as purchasing, plant location, plant layout, etc., including the disposal of waste, that is, waste management also. It facilitates in getting products and services as and when they are needed and desired to the customer. It also helps in economic transactions, serving as a major enabler of growth of trade and commerce in a country. That is helping the economy of the country. It has come to be recognized as a distinct function with the rise of mass production systems throughout the supply chain. And of course, the globalization and the free market and competition has required that the customer gets the right material at the right time, at the right point, and in the right condition, that is, at the lowest cost. And therefore, logistics is commonly seen as a branch of engineering that creates people systems rather than machine systems. It is all people-controlled systems. When I give you some classic examples of logistics as far as India is concerned, you know, Mumbai, we have got the dabbawala systems who carry food for people who are working in different commercial establishments. They have got a reliable, foolproof logistics system. Mind you, those people are normally supposed to be Arabs, illiterates. Generally, people term them as illiterates. But they have got such a perfect logistics system that they are delivering the lunch boxes from the residence of the persons to the respective office goer at their office, delivering not less than 5 lakh lunch boxes every day without letting the wrong box being picked up to be given to the wrong office goers at the wrong offices. And then again ensuring that the boxes reach there on time. Normally such firms have got lunchtime around 1 or 1:30. So they've got to ensure that the lunch boxes reaches each and every commercial organizations exactly before that time. There's been no mistake by them till today. It's a really gigantic method, and if you observe them working, go to any station in the suburban area, at every station you will find a group of such dabbawalas collecting it. And then when you go to the destination or as a commercial hubs area, you will see them exchanging the boxes for giving it to different people to be delivered at different locations. You'll find them to be working very fast, and it's a very big task. Again, similarly, if you look at our Indian postal services also, one of the largest logistics network in the world today is the Indian postal system. And they deliver letters in the most cost-effective manner. You know, in the past, a small postcard was being posted by anybody, a simple postcard. You write something, post it, within 5 paise, it used to reach. You post it in any post box near your place, it is picked up by the postal people and delivered at the destination wherever it is in India. Across 6 lakh villages, including villages which have got no bus transit, no rail network, no road network at all, totally interior error. Sometimes in the villages you could find a postman coming in a cycle and delivering the letters locally to each house over there. several thousand towns covering the length and breadth of the country within 24 to 48 hours. That was the transit time required. 24 to 48 hours, it could reach any distant area. And they are serving more than 175 countries, international movement also, with Indian source stations and customers and or destinations, as mentioned earlier. You must have heard foreign post offices also, where foreign cargo movement also takes place at these respective post offices under the Indian Postal Service scheme. These are one of the biggest classic examples of logistics. Originally, I told you military logistics was a prefecture at that time. Let us look at the military logistics first, how it originated. Logistics is considered to have originated in the military's need to supply themselves with arms, ammunition, and rations as they moved from their base to a forward fighting position. In military science, maintaining one's supply lines while disrupting those of the enemy supply lines is the most crucial element of any military strategy. That means any country who wants to militarily win a war, they will first ensure logistically to maintain their supply lines. And their primary objective would be to cut the enemy's supply lines. If they do not get any supplies, how will they fight a war? And militaries, they have a significant need of logistic solutions and have developed advanced implementation. It's a unique method. The integrated logistic support is a discipline used in military industries to ensure an easily supportable system with a robust customer logistics service concept at the lowest cost. Military costs have got to be maintained at the lowest possible cost also. In military logistics, there are logistic officers who manage how and when to move resources to the places they are most needed. That was the originating point right from World War I onwards, or even the previous wars. There have been logistic officers, military officers. When we come to the business concept, today's business, over a period of time, logistic has become the most important function in business today. Why? Because it covers a number of professional disciplines like facility location, planning, forecasting and order management, transportation, that is the mode and route to be followed. These are all part of the study under logistics. Inventory management, that means all inventory is required on a just-in-time methodology. Warehousing methods, protective packaging required. And above all, for information purposes, the maintenance and flow of the information as required. Today, it is all digital flow of information. There are various types of logistic service providers, and they are known as by the short form names 1PL, 2PL, 3PL, and 4PL. 1PL means a first party logistic provider, 2PL means a second party logistic provider, 3PL means short form TPL or third party logistic provider, and 4PL means large logistic provider or fourth party logistics provider. These are the nomenclatures given to the respective logistic service providers. Let us try to understand in a nutshell what is the meaning of each of them. The first party or 1PL logistics service provider is a firm or an individual that needs to have cargo, freight, goods, produce or merchandise transported from a point A to a point B. That means they could be originator of cargo, they could be a mover of cargo, a producer of merchandise, etc., etc. The term first party logistics provider stands both for cargo sender and for the cargo receiver. That means a 1PL could be a cargo sender, that is the exporter, or a cargo receiver, that could be an importer. And a 1PL can be anything from a manufacturer to a trader, buying office, importer, exporter, wholesaler, retailer, and a distributor in the international commercial field. It can also be institutions such as government departments, NGOs, associations, military, and postal services. The first party logistic providers subcontract their transportation needs to either 2PLs or 3PLs. That means actual movement of cargo is done by either 2PL or 3PL. 1PL do not move their cargo. They are only providers of cargo for movement or receivers of cargo for movement purpose. A 2PL or a second party logistic provider is an asset-based carrier which actually owns the means of transportation. That means it can be a truck operator, a truck owner, a rail provider, sea carrier, air carrier, etc. They should own their property for carriage. And by the same yardstick, second party logistic providers are shipping lines which own, lease or charter their ships, airlines which own, lease or charter their planes, truck companies which own or lease their trucks, barge companies which own, lease or charter their barges, rail companies which own their trains, and of course warehouse owners. These are all different types of 2PL. In the transportation industry, the second party logistic providers are again segmented between different categories of transportation. That is sea freight, which regroups shipping lines and barge companies both. And of course today the container lines are also grouped in this same sea freight angle. Air freight, which regroups the airlines as well as the cargo helicopter companies, etc. As far as trucking is concerned, they regroup the truck companies and their vans companies. Owner of the vehicles and operators of the vehicles are grouped together. Railways, which regroups the rail company as a whole. And then ultimately, warehouse and logistics being regrouped together. When we look at again second party logistic provider, 2PL can also be a 3PL at the same time. In these cases, when a shipping line owns a freight forwarder, when an airline owns a general sales agent, when a freight forwarder owns trucks or a warehouse, when a courier company owns planes, trucks or a warehouse, these are all different formats of 2PL being part of 3PL, or they are 3PL also. That means combined, they have been combined, 2PL and 3PL, together under following conditions. If you want to look at 3PL or 3PL third party logistics provider, they are defined as a firm that provides multiple logistics services for use by customers. It provides outsourced logistics services for part or all of their supply chain management functions. They can partly outsource or fully outsource. Why? Because they specialize in integrated operations, warehousing and transportations, services that can be scaled and customized to the customer's need. They look to the customer's need, and then whatever services they can offer, they offer. The others, they again give it to somebody else by outsourcing it. They also provide cross-docking, freight forwarding, inventory management, and packaging services. They include freight forwarders, courier companies, as well as other companies integrating and offering subcontracted logistics and transportation services. So they are a combination, but they are termed to be as professionals. Let us look at the categories of 3PL providers. One standard 3PL provider would be a basic form of a provider. They would perform activities such as pick and pack, warehousing and distribution business, the most basic functions of logistics. And for majority of these firms, the function is not their main activity. They have got other activities also. Next, you have got the service developer. And this type of provider will offer their customers as advanced value-added services, such as tracking and tracing, cross-docking, specific packaging, or provide a unique security system for movement of cargo from point A to point B. That means they are termed as specialist, specializing in such type of services as per the customer's needs. And of course, they have a solid IT information technology foundation and a focus on economies of scale. That means they've got to ensure that the transaction costs, freight charges, etc., etc., are all economized for making the importers, exporters transactions viable. And the scope will enable this type of providers to perform these types of tasks professionally. When we look at categories of 3PL providers, we have the customer adapter, that is, this type of provider comes in at the request of the customer and essentially takes over the complete control of the company's logistic activities. The provider improves the logistics dramatically, but do not develop a new service. Either they develop a new service or they improve on the customer's service. The customer base of this type of providers technically quite small. Next, we have the customer developer, and this is the highest level that a provider can attain with respect to its processes and activities. And this occurs when the provider integrates itself with the customer and takes over their entire logistic function. These providers will have a few customers, but will perform extensive and detailed tasks for those respective customers. And I can tell you that such kind of providers will always be a bridge between the importer and exporter for giving the services on a door-to-door basis from point A, that is the factory or warehouse of the supplier, to end point B, that is factory or warehouse of the buyer. They are a total bridge. Of course, there are non-asset-based 3PL. Asset-based 3PL are connected as 2PL also. But non-asset-based 3PL providers are specialists in other fields. Advancements in technology and increase in supply chain visibility and communications have given rise to this new model for third-party logistics provide operations. They consist of a team of domain experts from the freight industry expertise and information technology assets. That is their domain. They function as consultants or packaging, transportation, freight quoting, financial settlement, auditing, tracking, any other customer services, and issue resolutions for the problems of the customer. These providers must show their customers a definite benefit in financial and operational terms by leveraging exceptional expertise and ability. They have got to be professionals to leverage their expertise and ability to suit the customer's requirement. Next, when we look at 4PL or LLP, fourth party logistic provider, a 4PL is a lead logistic provider consulting firm only. They are large consulting firms specialized in logistics or transportation and supply chain management. It is an independent, singularly accountable, non-asset-based integrator of a client's supply and demand chains. They will look at the supply and demand chain both together. They do not have any asset of their own. They are only consultants to give financial advice on the best possible usages for their goods movement from originating point to the consumers. Now, in order to avoid any conflict of interest, they will use 2PLs and or 3PLs as far as logistics, transportation and supply chain management assets are concerned. Since they do not have their own assets, they will outsource these functions to asset-based 2PL or 3PLs. They use only their computer systems and intellectual capital to supply service to the customers. They have got intellectual expertise, IT expertise, including capital structure for giving such expertised consultancy work. This is to effectively respect the principle of neutrality so that any conflict of interest is avoided. They are neutral when they give consultation. They are not attached or attracted by any single asset-based service provider. They may look at two or three different asset-based service provider to look at the cost effectiveness, time effectiveness, as far as the requirements of the customer is concerned. And then they will advise by granting operations to such 2PL and 3PLs. Next in line and somewhat functional, similar to logistics, is the freight forwarding. A freight forwarder or a forwarding agent, now I think today in India, most of us are using for import and export clearance from customs, you are using either a freight forwarder or a custom broker. Custom broker can also be a freight forwarder. So a freight forwarder or a forwarding agent is a person or company that organizing shipments for other firms to get their goods from the manufacturer or producer to a market or customer or final point of distribution. Now, mind you, this can be for local trade also. This can also be for international movement. Both freight forwarders are available for both functions. Forwarders contract with a carrier or often multiple carriers to move the goods from one country to another country. Goods are required to be moved for international movements. The forwarder will outsource the carriage of the goods to an asset-based company. They do not move the goods, but act as an expert in the logistics network. And they use different methods, a variety of shipping modes, including ships, airplanes, trucks, and railroads. And they may often use as multiple modes for a single shipments, looking to the requirement of their customers. We also have the international freight forwarders who handle all international shipments and have additional expertise in preparing and processing custom documentation and performing all activities pertaining to the international shipments, that is foreign shipments from importer to exporter or exporter to importer. Now, let us come to a different format, which is again maybe a part of logistics, but the format is slightly different over here. It is known as a supply chain. A supply chain refers to a system of organization of people, technology, activities, information, and resources. And it involves the moving of a product or service from the supplier to the customer. It is a network of facilities, not any single facility, but a total network of facilities and distribution options that performs the functions of procurement of raw materials, transformation of these materials into intermediate and finished products, and the distribution of these finished products to the customers. Supply chain exists in both service and also manufacturing organizations. They have a mechanism through which these different functions can be integrated together as the complexity of the chain may vary greatly from industry to industry and from firms to firm. It depends on the individual firm's requirement or industry requirement. The functions of the supply chain can vary, can change. It is a set of approaches. The supply chain is a set of approaches used to efficiently integrate. Integrate what? The suppliers, the manufacturers, the transporters, the warehouses, the distribution centers, and the consumers. They are all tied together as a chain in the supply chain management. Why? So that the product is produced and distributed in the right quantities, to the right locations, and at the right time. And to ensure that system-wide costs are minimized and service level requirements are satisfied both by manufacturers and also the consumers. When we look at the management of the supply chain, that is supply chain management, it is a totality of various types of functions. And here it is the oversight of material, information of the material, and the finances required over there as they move in a process from the supplier to the manufacturer, to the wholesaler, to the retailer, or to the consumer. It can be both ways. That is, from raw material supplier to the manufacturer, or from the manufacturer to the consumer. Both way, supply chain management is involved. And the concept is that it involves coordinating and integrating these flows both within and amongst different companies. They have got to integrate the flows within different companies or firms. Of course, the ultimate objective of any effective system is to reduce inventory and ensure that products are available when needed. For successful management, sophisticated software systems with web interfaces are used for planning and executing applications. A number of major websites offer e-procurement marketplace where manufacturers can trade and even make auction bids with suppliers. There's an e-auction basis, e-tendering basis. This is all through various websites. Thank you.